3.
Welcome to In the Studio with a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock albums. I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, it's the anniversary of the first top 10 album from one of America's favorite and most enduring bands. Without love.
After a while, the road becomes such a factor that it becomes hard to be as creative as you were, because you're not as carefree. You're not at all. Your life is scheduled. You're going to be here, you're going to be there, you're going to do this interview, you're going to do the sound check, you're going to go back to the room and have whatever little meager amount of time you got, and then you're back to the stage to do the show. Then you're back to your room, then you got to get up, throw all this wet crap in a suitcase, and head off to the next town. And if you do that for month after month after month, all those tours to me just become a blur.
Pat Simmons.
I'm Tom Johnson of the Doobie Brothers, in the studio for The Captain and Me.
In his 4.5-star review on AllMusic.com, writer Bruce Etter describes The Captain and Me, the March 1973 third release by Northern California band The Doobie Brothers, as, and I quote, "their most substantial and consistent album to date. It was also a study in contrast. Tom Johnston's harder-edged, bolder-rocking numbers, balanced by Patrick Simmons' more laid-back country rock ballad style, with interlocking guitars and showcasing the band's exquisite soaring harmonies." End quote. The album The Captain and Me was the Doobie Brothers' second million seller, following their 1972 breakthrough album Toulouse Street. But The Captain and Me was the first to ascend into the rarefied air of the American Top 10 sales chart. Musically, The Captain and Me was a deeper, richer, more complete musical work than its predecessor, which had contained their first hit, Listen to the Music. Doobie Brothers singer-songwriter-guitarist Tom Johnston admits that the success of the Toulouse Street album, and in particular the hit Listen to the Music, raised expectations for what the Doobies would do next.
By the time we did get success and stuff, I think everybody in the band sat back and took another look at what was going on and felt like we were a little bit more of a professional band now, as opposed to where we used to be. So that fun-loving, you know, happy-go-lucky scene really didn't exist anymore. It started becoming a business. And we all still liked it, and it was still new to us, even by the time Captain and Me came around. But I think everybody took it a little more seriously by then. Because you did feel like you had to do, yeah. I mean, I felt I had to outdo what I did before. And it had become a more professional organization. We had more people working for us. As far as going on the road, we had a lot of people out there doing jobs and stuff that we didn't even dream of before. So it became more professional.
When the sun comes up, I
Composer and singer of the huge hit China Grove, Tom Johnston, in the studio.
Billy put his keyboard parts on. I didn't have the word for it yet, which wasn't anything unusual. I did that a lot, and you're not supposed to do that, but that's the way it happened. Billy played that lick in the bridge. And that's when I got the idea of the Chinese-sounding thing to me. So I don't remember vividly writing the words to China Grove, but that's where it came from. Now, I didn't know about a place. There is a place called China Grove, and it is in Texas. And oddly enough, it's not too far from where I wrote about. But I didn't know that till later on. A cab driver told me that in Houston a couple of years later. And it flabbergasted me. I said, "You got to be kidding. There really is a China Grove?" And he says, "Yeah." "And how'd you know about it?" And I said, "I didn't know about it." But when you travel around a lot, who knows? We might have driven down a highway that goes between someplace and someplace, and I might have seen that on a road sign and forgot about it. So, and I found out there's more than one, too. There's three of them. I've gotten to the point now. I remember it was a big thrill to hear it when it first came out. You bet. It was really unique. I mean, wow. You're hearing yourself on the radio, it was a big deal. By now, I've heard it so many times, and God knows I've played it enough times, that I guess people like it. It says something about the song, that it can last that long. It can stand the test of time from then till now and still hold up. And I just feel very grateful that it did that, you know, like, for whatever reasons. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say that China Grove or some other songs influenced their life and helped them through a period of time or something like that, or the album did or something like that. I find that very gratifying.
Your life.
With the exception of Doobie drummer John Hartman, a Virginian, all of the original Doobie Brothers had grown up in California. Yet, just like Los Angeles-based Little Feat and San Francisco Bay Area's Creedence Clearwater Revival, several of the Doobie Brothers' songs sounded as if they had been created in the American Deep South. Southern, rural influences permeated the lyrics as well as the arrangements on this album. So I asked Tom Johnston for an explanation.
Maybe it's because a lot of my folks are from the South. And the other thing is the South's real colorful. It's easy to write songs about the South. There's always something that you can latch on to. I don't care what area. It doesn't have to be New Orleans. It can be. I wrote songs about Texas. I wrote songs about Tennessee. I wrote songs about all over the place. I don't know why there's a link there that seems to be strong throughout the history of my songwriting anyway. And I don't necessarily know exactly why, other than I was brought up in a town that's full of, or at least back then, was full of a lot of people whose origins were from the South, including mine. So it's like there was a link there. And I would go back to the section of Missouri I did over several times, you know, as I was growing up and, you know, still have. And that was considered part of the South during the Civil War and all that. And I went down and saw a lot of places and, did, you know, like St. Genevieve, you know, like that. And Savannah, Georgia, going to New Orleans, going to places in Texas, going to places, you know, all over, you know. And they're colorful places to write about. And the way people lived were colorful things to write about. The imagery in the South is kind of grand and yet at the same time folksy. I must say in those early years, I had a lot of songs come to me, and the best ones always come out of the blue, and that's still the case. Some got written on the road. Most of them got written from little spaces we had at time at home, but some of them did come up on the road. Some of them I'd written back in the days when we were, you know, PUD or whatever, you know, like Long Train Running, for instance. It was called Rosie Pig Mosley for a long time because I made up different words every time I sang it. There was never a title of the damn thing, so we just called it Rosie Pig Mosley. And then eventually when we cut it, Teddy wanted to cut it, and I didn't think it was that great a song, frankly. I thought it was okay, but I didn't think there was that much to it. And I definitely didn't expect it to become a single, so he said, you got to write some words here, you know. If we're going to record it, you got to write some words. So I did. I wrote some words to it. But that didn't have any words until that album. It had been around since at least 1970, maybe 69.
Love, love.
A big hit instantly from the Doobie Brothers' March 1973 release The Captain and Me was Tom Johnston's Long Train Runnin'. Or should I say, Rosie Pig Mosley. Up next, the only Doobie Brother to appear on every album and tour for more than 40 years, Pat Simmons, joins Tom Johnston here in the studio. Follow us on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and hear more interviews at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, and you're in the studio with the Doobie Brothers, the Captain and Me.
And I'm Tom Johnston of the Doobie Brothers.
And I'm Pat Simmons.
In the studio for the Captain and Me with Redbeard.
Guitarist, singer, songwriter Pat Simmons occupies a unique role in the Doobie Brothers as the sole member to have played on every album and tour since day one.
Among the Doobie Brothers, I think they're this kind of era with Tom Johnston and the original band. We sort of had a sound from that era, I would say probably from about 1970, well, that was the beginning band almost, but around 1971, 72 to about 77, that was the sound of the Doobie Brothers with Tom and myself and the original guys, the two-drum lineup, John, Mike, Tyran on bass. So I think we definitely hold on to some of our roots that we established back then and even earlier. You know, a lot of our music comes from early soul grooves a little bit. I would say, you know, James Brown kind of stuff and Steve Cropper, you know, that early Motown stuff, the blues. We played the blues a lot. And then we borrowed from a lot of rhythm guitar players in our music. You know, I can think of people, boom, let's see, you know, Richie Havens, Dave Mason, those kinds of people, so that there's a little bit of that in our music, the Isley Brothers. So that's a little bit of our sound, probably our original sound. And then I think we've listened to a lot of other kinds of music since we started the band back then, and you know, right up to newer things that are going on, that it influences our music all the time. So I think we're trying to we're walking a thin line. We want to retain everything that we enjoyed in this band originally with our sound and our approach, and still have fun with that and move on and achieve, you know, other sounds and other grooves and other kinds of songs. So, you know, we're trying to hang in there and keep our own interest, I think, alive in pursuing all kinds of different musical goals.
Yeah.
Decades before the Green Movement had a name, Tom Johnston was extolling the virtues of the land outside of San Jose, California, and the mountain people who lived there in the song Ukiah from the Doobie Brothers' The Captain and Me album. Here's Tom.
Luckily, we had a lot of songs stockpiled, too, by then.
Yeah.
Definitely helps to have people that are good players and stuff there to go bring the songs, too. I mean, you got to come up with the ideas and all that, but that takes some doing. But, it, you know, if you got the guys that come up with good ideas as far as arrangement go later on, it's a tremendous help. There was a song on that album that I was thrilled to death that we got to do. It's a song, it's a blues song that I wrote, and it's nothing special. It's just a blues tune. It's just special to me. I don't think it's special to anybody else. And Nick DeCaro put strings on that, and it really topped it off, and that was Dark Eyed Cajun Woman.
Take some.
because it was kind of like my tribute to B.B. King, if you will. And that's the first time I ever really got to do the blues. We did a blues song on Toulouse Street, a Sonny Boy Williamson tune, but this one was like more to me from the heart because I wrote it and wrote the words and the progression, but it does sound like the thrill has gone a little bit. I'm not going to say it doesn't. And probably I might have ripped it off. I know, I mean, I'm sure I did.
That was Tom Johnston. Fellow guitarist, singer-songwriter Pat Simmons analyzes the seemingly timeless quality of the Captain and Me album by the Doobie Brothers, as well as the remarkable longevity of the band itself.
I think, you know, we all have wide tastes in music. I think that's probably what's helped all of us. And in a certain sense, I think we've gone towards a direction that maybe we think we're familiar with, you know. In other words, you know, we all see ourselves in this band, I think probably in a different light as say we might see ourselves in a band with Jeff Baxter or Mike McDonald or you know, Cornelius Bumpus. You're playing with other people and you start to look to yourself and you go, well, gee, you know, what influences do I have that are going to cross over and that we can meld and make a good statement that everybody will feel good about and have and be able to make a convincing musical statement, I guess is what it is. And so you start to look for things, for ways that you can enhance whatever's going on, I think. And I think that's the way all musicians really work, who really care and really want to make a good thing. You know, guys can say, you know, I just can't come up with anything. And I'll be honest with you, I've been that way myself sometimes in the studio or whatever. I'll just say, you know, I hear the song, I can't come up with a part. You guys maybe should cut the track yourselves without me and let me listen to it for a while. Sometimes then I'll step back and I see something that I can add to it that'll make it work. Or sometimes I just say, I think it sounds fine just the way it is. And, you know, if I can sing some backgrounds or, you know, do some hand claps or whatever to make it work, I would be happy to contribute that much. And I think that's kind of the attitude, or has been the attitude, of the people in this band at given times when they've had to assume different roles.
The multi-million sales of the Captain and Me required the Doobie Brothers now to tour relentlessly, and this proved particularly hard on Tom Johnston. By 1975, while on a 50-date U.S. tour, Tom was stricken with a stomach ulcer and had to leave mid-tour. Michael McDonald was brought in to finish the tour, but by 1977, Tom Johnston quit the Doobies entirely and didn't tour with them again until 1989. Here's Tom Johnston in the studio.
After a while, the road becomes such a factor that it becomes hard to be as creative as you were because you're not as carefree. You're not at all. Your life is scheduled. You're going to be here. You're going to be there. You're going to do this interview. You're going to do the sound check. You're going to go back to your room and have whatever little meager amount of time you got. And then you're back to the stage to do the show. Then you're back to your room. Then you got to get up, throw all this wet crap in the suitcase, and head off to the next town. And if you do that for month after month after month, all those tours to me just become a blur.
Playing easy somewhere, shade across my mind. Thoughts that pass I cannot catch. I reach for you and find that I have come not to get burned out. Wind in the tree blows, even the sea knows that I have come. Half empty, I'm not sure. I can't stop rolling, and I can't stop. It's driving me out of my mind. Then the truck stop, the plane hop, the boat drop, and I'm so close. Boat drop, and I'm so close. Give me a little more time.
Spin me around, turn my life down, take me down slow.
A lot of us love that mini epic Clear as the Driven Snow, written and sung by Pat Simmons on The Captain and Me. Still to come, Tom Johnston discusses the hard and soft, light and shade combination of musical textures and tempos that allows so much of their music to remain undated, plus Pat Simmons muses on how to continue rocking down the highway in the 21st century. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and of course visit inthestudio.net for a whole lot more. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Tom Johnston and Pat Simmons of the Doobie Brothers, The Captain and Me.
And I'm Tom Johnston of the Doobie Brothers.
And I'm Pat Simmons.
In the studio for The Captain and Me with Redbeard.
Thanks again, guys. Everyone agrees that the Doobie Brothers album The Captain and Me sounds remarkable even today, seemingly undiminished by constantly changing musical trends. Still, Tom Johnston feels that they never quite captured the live band's muscularity.
I don't know what it was. It's like we wanted to, we considered ourselves a rock band, you know. I mean, we became more so, if anything, and a lot of us had come from backgrounds of playing power trios and things like that, and we wanted, and that's the way we came across live on stage, except for the acoustic numbers that would be done and the softer numbers. But when we rock and roll, we would rock and roll hard. And people were surprised by that. I know I've been told several times by people that they'd heard, say, Toulouse Street, or even The Captain and Me, and they went to see us live. They thought we were a good group, but they didn't expect to get the show that they got. And somehow it just never got translated. That energy never really got translated to record until maybe Vices and Habits. I mean, it sounded good, and don't misunderstand me. I mean, we had Without You was a real good rock song, and it was a band written song, for instance. Everybody in the band wrote that song in rehearsal. And it gets played a lot up here, and you know, it's an album cut that gets played a lot. And we play it live, and we still will. It's a good strong number that everybody loves.
The Doobie Brothers amped up for the song Without You on The Captain and Me. The timeless quality of the album is due in no small part to the expertise of producer Ted Templeman and engineer Don Landy.
As far as recording, it sounded good. It sounded, you know, really nice and everything. It wasn't as edgy as, say, Mountain or somebody like that, or Hendrix or Cream or something would do if we were trying to do a song that was really hard rock. And just didn't come off quite as edgy as we wanted it to. I don't know what that was. I don't know why that was. These guys were considered, you know, like mentors of their time, Teddy and Don, for the sound they got. Everybody really did like the sound of the albums, and we did too. We were happy with them. I don't mean to sound we weren't happy with them, but sometimes we did want it to get just a little edgier if we could.
Pat Simmons ponders touring in a rock and roll band at an age when most people are planning their retirement.
I look at bands like the Stones. I'm, you know, you hear the Stones, you go, I don't know. I love the Stones, but do I really like the Stones? Or do I really like this song? Or do I really like that song? I'm coming over the bridge today, and I'm telling you that live Jumpin' Jack Flash came on, and I went, this is the best Stones live I ever heard. Listen to this power. Listen to Charlie Watts. I mean, listen to this cat play. It's phenomenal. You realize that, you know, they have, who's in this band? Ron Wood, you know, these background singers and things. And it's slightly different band, you know, from the original Brian Jones and Mick Taylor. They've all been a little different, and each guy sort of added his print on what's happening. What's happening with the Stones right now is they are playing with such fire and excellence over these years with all the guys in the band. I assume they must, you know, be pretty straight to be able to play that good, you know, and everybody knows that they've had their problems with drugs and alcohol, as have a good many of us. I think it's the thing in rock and roll always has been is, you know, it's hard drinking, hard living kind of business, and it is, you know. But at the same time, you know, I listen to the Stones, I realize these guys have really got their thing together, have just, you know, stepped into a new place because of the kind of shape they're in and the ability that they've developed after playing this many years and playing these songs. They're playing better than they ever did.
We dedicate this anniversary of the Doobie Brothers, the Captain and Me, in the studio to Doobie drummer Big Mike Hossie and the man who replaced him, Keith Knudsen. Both of them have passed away. I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests, Pat Simonson, Tom Johnston of the Doobies. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2018, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.